that burns bright. Oh, man. Yeah. Jerry, sweet to see you. The neighborhood's not the same without you. That's true. There's no Cummins diesel going by at 6 a.m. Hey, today is the 19th, right? Okay, good. There's a Christmas service in Bishop. It is at 4 p.m. So many of you know we're meeting in Bishop at 4 p.m. Tonight we're having a special night. Christmas songs, sweet treats, hot cocoa, and photo booth. So wear something cute and take a good picture and then share it with a friend. Or put it up on your fridge so everyone can laugh at it when they get to your house. Feel free to bring treats or appetizers, snacks. We're all going to eat and be merry. New Year's. So New Year's is coming up. 2022. Woo! What a crazy deal. But Dawn is going to be doing something. So Dawn, you want to come up and share about that?
I'm not, but Patrick is. Yeah. All right. So we're going to do a worship event, you guys. Here from 9:30 to 12:30 on New Year's Eve. And if you've never ushered in and worshipped the Lord into the new year, it will change your life. So, I mean, obviously you felt the anointing in worship today, and it just breaks things off. So come and join us, the more the merrier. Emma, my daughter, is going to be doing daycare for those that want to bring your kids. And we just encourage you to bring like a sleeping bag and a pillow, because at some point they might want to just lay down and watch a movie. Okay. And we're going to have treats, hot chocolate and tea and coffee and dessert. So come party with us. Yeah, Patrick's going to need coffee, so Starbucks gift certificates for him would be great. Just kidding.
Thank you, Don. That'll be neat. Great way to usher in a new year. Oh, is at the feet of Jesus. Hey, so next week is Christmas. And then the day after Christmas is the 26th. That's a Sunday. Sunday, there's a really neat opportunity down in Bishop for the all-church gathering at the Nazarene Church in Bishop. So there's no service here next Sunday morning. However, Wes and Vicky will be here to hold down the fort in prayer. Okay. Okay, they may. Okay, never mind. So they won't be here. Don't be here. You might be cold. The heater won't be on. Somebody will be here. Okay. So that's next Sunday at 11 o'clock in Bishop. Then again, next Sunday evening, we'll be reconvening as a group in Bishop yet again. So today being the kind of the last Sunday service before the new year, really. Ah, wow. Here in Crowley. Gosh. We're doing a New Year's end of year to New Year offering to continue to further the work of what God is doing. Now, it is awesome to see the campus down in Bishop. The carpet is great. The paint is great. Even the sound tiles Mike did on the wall, they look like mountains. Yeah, they're really neat. But if you've been down there, you notice there's a lot of new people coming. Yeah. People coming and new stories of people being really encouraged and blessed. So we love sowing into that stuff because, well, I'll backtrack. I used to sit in church disgruntled thinking, oh, man, they're raising $7 million to build a new chapel with the seats only 300 people. Oh, Lord, that's a waste of money. I could build 26 orphanages and fund them for a year. That's how I used to sit and think in the back of the church. And then just one sweet day, the Lord just spoke to my heart and says, but what if one person comes to know me in that chapel? Is it worth it? Oh, come on, Lord. Yes, you're right. I'm wrong. So this is an opportunity to sow into the church, the ministry here on the Eastern Sierras, and what God is doing here in Crowley and down in Bishop, and then how it stretches up to our faithful June Lake crew. And then we don't have anybody from Keeler yet, but one day maybe we will. We used to. Awesome. Okay, I think that sums up all of the announcements. Can I ask, where did Joe Rossick go?
I'm here.
Oh, Joe. Joe and Jay, since you both start with J's, and my best friend Jesus starts with a J, would you mind doing the offerings today?
Yeah.
And then we'll pray. So I'll pray before we send out, okay?
All right.
Oh, Jesus, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you've built a place for us to worship. We can come into your throne room and be right in your presence. The veil in the temple was torn and ripped in between. You gave us the opportunity to meet you in the Holy of Holies, and your Holy of Holies dwells within us. Thank you that we get to come together as a church and encourage each other. Build each other up. Speak your truth. Speak your life. And enjoy your word and worship together. Lord, we speak a blessing over this morning. Anoint Mike's words. Pastor Mike, we just bless you in Jesus' name to flow in his spirit.
Yes.
And for those who give and sow into the church and the ministry here, we ask that the Lord would bless and multiply that to you in return 100 times more. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Howdy, folks. I just wanted to come up and thank Vicki and Wes and Dennis and Judith and Ann Rousick for all of their help in our move. You know, you just never know how much you need the body of Christ till you're away from them. You don't know what it's all about until you've reached a point in your life where, you know, I just turned 72 last week, and boy, I'll tell you what, Ancient of Days, no. Hey, and it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still learn. You can still come to a place in your life where God shows you how much you need each other. And I just want to thank you, Ann. I want to thank you, Vicki. I want to thank all the folks here that have loved me and put up with me. My wife and I have been through a struggle. Just pray for us. We're rebuilding our marriage. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how long you're a Christian. If you don't lay at the feet of Jesus, you're going to lose it someday. You're going to lose the fight. You're going to... Well, I hope I don't lose everything. But what I'm trying to say is that he's always there. Doesn't matter what you've done or who you are. Well, I guess it may matter what you've done a little bit, but at the same time, you may have to pay for your mistakes, but at the same time, there is a God that will receive you and love you and give you back what you've lost through his love. Because you know what? He's here to restore all things. He's not here to take anything away. The devil's the one that takes it away. And when we walk away from Jesus, we walk into trouble. So I just want to tell you guys, I love you. And Dorian and I we're trying to get things squared away in our life. It's just been like the Lord has just taken our house and throw it out in the street and said, you know what? Okay, now it's my turn. And I just want you to know that it is his turn in my life. He's given me a lot of grace, and I've had a lot of good years with the Lord, but it seems like when you get accustomed, it's like a familiar spirit. You kind of grow numb to his love. You kind of grow like, you know, you can do whatever you want. But that's the biggest lie in the world. And I just wanted to say that. I want to tell you guys, I love you. Jesus is Lord. Truthfully Lord. Not just Lord over a part of your life. He is Lord over all of your life. He's Lord over the United States of America. We are going to see His victory in this nation. We are going to, our greatest days are ahead. Because you know what? He's tearing down the foundation that was made out of sand, that was a falsehood, that was a lie, that was a deception, and it's all coming to the top right now. And this year is going to be the greatest year, even in the middle of all the failures we see. That God is going to be glorified like He's never been glorified before. This is the year of His glory. You know what? I'm sorry, I got to say this. The reason I don't know, now I just got fired up a little bit. But Jesus is working in every facet of this nation right now. Every facet of this nation. It says the earth will get darker and darker, but the church will get brighter and brighter. And that will be a people sought after. You know why they're going to seek after us? Not because of who we are. It's because who He is in us, Christ, the hope of glory. And I'm just saying this is a great time. And I just want to come to a place in my life right now where I can glorify Him. And I can say to look people in the eye and know that my life is pure and holy and redeemed. So I can look at them and tell them the truth, and the truth will set them free. I want to be a clean vessel. I want to be a vessel of that honors Him. And that's what I've come to.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. We've got a song. The group, is the amazing couple, is going to sing a song in just a second. But let's pray. Yeah.
May I? Yeah. The Spirit's prompting. So, Lord, I thank You for Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry, come. Yes, and Lord. Dory, I thank You, God. I thank You. Jerry, your light may feel like you're the wick, like it's a small flame, although right now it just got kind of fanned up. But you are a man of great, deep faith. And you walk with God. And you have all these days, ever since you said yes to Him. And I'm here to remind you, I'm here to breathe on that the Spirit of God that is in you, and to remind you of the man of God that you are.
Amen.
Whether you're feeling fired up or that fire feels really dim, you have a future, you have a hope. It is in Christ. You are an influencer. You bear much fruit. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are salt. You are light. You are loved.
Thank you.
Yes. Your marriage is blessed.
Yes.
Everything can be turned upside down. We live in an upside down world. And the kingdom of God is upside down. It's full of love. It's full of fruit, wisdom, righteousness, justice, goodness, faithfulness. We go low. He can be everywhere.
Yes.
So Jerry, you're right on track with the Ancient of Days,
yes,
on the path of holiness, the way of holiness. Don't be dismayed, my good friend. Be of good courage.
Yes.
For in due season you will reap.
Yes.
You, your marriage, the people around you, your family, you reap.
Yes.
And you are highly much loved.
Hallelujah. We just bless our brother right now in Jesus' name. God, thank You for the grace of God that is tangible upon his life. It's always been tangible. And we just agree with everything that Ann prayed over you, declared over you. We say yes and amen to a new season, a season of acceleration, a season of prophetic words coming to pass, a season of breakthrough, a season of being able to pour out. The Lord has called you to be a father in this season to many. And you will pour out. And there is a word, a specific word that He has put in your spirit. And He's going to give you the strategy on how to pour that out into another generation. And so, Father, I thank You for the equipping. I thank you, God, for this new season and for the grace to do what he feels like he cannot do in his own strength. I thank you that your grace launches him and enables him to do everything that he could never do. And God, we thank you for the teaching gift and the mothering gift in Dory. And we call that forth in Jesus' name. And we bless her. We bless her gifting. We bless her heart. We speak restoration. We speak life. We speak joy over her, over Joshua. God, we thank you for Joshua, Lord, the warrior that he is. And we bless him. We bless his heart. We bless his mind. We bless his spirit. We bless his future. We bless his future children, God. We bless this family, the Burrell family. And we thank you for a new day, a new time, a new season in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, hallelujah. Thank you, Ann. We're a church that likes to pray. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song in just a second here, and I'm excited. I shared a message. I'm going to share a different message later today that the Lord really put on my heart. But this is an important message, and I shared something similar a couple years ago. But I feel like it's even more important and critical that we release this again now for the times that we're living in. And I want to title this A Thrill of Hope. Say, A Thrill of Hope. And we're going to sing Oh Holy Night in just a second. One of the best, I think, one of the best Christmas songs in the world. Hallelujah. And I'll just tell you real quick how this song came about. And there was a French priest who really just wanted to get the gospel out to people. And so he loved the story, the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. The message just wasn't really getting across to the people. And so he found a local poet and he said, can you make Luke chapter 2 into a beautiful poem that people would be able to really digest and take to heart? And so this poet creates this thing called Oh Holy Night, this beautiful poem. But they loved it so much, they said, there needs to be music to this. And so they find a local composer, and they come up with the song, they come up with everything, and it becomes one of the greatest hits of all time, and sung literally all over the world, right? We love this song. But here's something that was so fascinating to me. In 1906, a university professor in Canada had this idea on Christmas Eve. He has this idea to make this makeshift generator, and he gets a little microphone, and he does the very first AM broadcast. So there was FM radio, but he does the very first AM broadcast. And what he thinks to himself is, I am going to release the Christmas message. And so he reads Luke chapter 2, the whole thing, and then he plays on his violin, Oh Holy Night. And Oh Holy Night was the very first song that hit the airwaves in the world. And it's just the power of it. I love this song. It kind of just takes me back to that moment, the powerful moment when Jesus came into this earth. And so we just want to sing this song with Patrick and Becca, and we're going to get back into this message. But I just encourage you, just worship just for a minute as we sing this beautiful and anointed Christmas song.
Hi, guys. We have a child issue. So, should I just sing it, babe, or you want to come? Well, okay, well, you're better off if Becca sings it, but... I'm trusting that she's coming because I'm still in her key. Yay! Oh, holy night,
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, fall on your knees, hear the angel
divine.
Beautiful, beautiful, anointed. Who else thinks that Patrick and Becca need a Christmas album? I think so. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for today. Thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your life. I just thank you for what you're doing in Church of the Mountain, for what you're doing in the world, in the unseen. Lord, there's so much happening in the unseen. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Jesus. You still are the way maker.
Amen.
And we honor you. We love you. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to this earth on that holy night, on that beautiful night, on that powerful night. You sent your Son, Jesus. And we honor him today. We honor the sacrifice. We honor the life. We honor the blood. We honor who you are, Jesus. And God, I ask that you would just minister to hearts today. I ask, God, that you would bring restoration over this Christmas season. God, this next week, I just pray that it would be a week of so much healing, so much breakthrough, so much restoration, and so much connection with you, Jesus. The greatest gift in the world, Lord Jesus. We love you, God. We honor you. We honor your presence today. We thank you for who you are. Hallelujah. And everybody that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. I just love that. I love that song and I love the words, a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. And, you know, in 2020 and 2021, I don't know about you, but I've just noticed that there's a lot of weariness. And there's a lot of brokenness, and there's a lot of hurt and desperation and depression. And, you know, mental illness. And what are we going to do about that? You know, like two weeks ago, I believe it was now, we got to do some caroling. And I definitely was stepping out of my comfort zone. I don't like caroling. I like listening to caroling, but we did it, and it was such a beautiful thing. And you know, Joe was there. I don't know anybody else, but we got to go visit a few people. One in particular, a gentleman who has cancer, and so we got to go into his business, and we just began to sing some simple Christmas songs, some Christmas carols, and he just began to weep. And we went and we laid hands on him and we prayed and just spoke prophetically and spoke healing. And he just sat there and just wept because he's just feeling so weary, so tired in the fight. And sometimes we can complicate things so much, but really all you have to do is step into somebody's situation and bring a little hope. You know, we go to another gentleman's house who was a longtime member of this church, and he's getting older in age, and now he's alone and has nobody. And so we got to go into his house. It was just him, his TV, and his dog. That's all there was. And we just sang to him, and he cried, and he thanked us, and he just was smiling just to see these happy children singing to him. And it was just like, I'm just left this night, and I was just like, all we did was just sing Christmas songs and pray for a few people. But it changed the atmosphere. And it began to change people's mindsets, and it began to take weariness off of people. And I believe with all my heart that right now, more than ever, 2020 and 2021 and 2022, we need hope. And we need that thrill of hope, but the thrill of hope will return, and the thrill of hope will come upon the world around us when the church begins to step up. And we have to be the thrill of hope,
yes,
because Christ is in us. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. And I got this amazing Christmas text that you probably read every single Christmas season. It's probably one of your most famous and beloved Christmas scriptures, and that's found in Lamentations. Just kidding. But I am serious. Go to Lamentations chapter 3, and I'm going to read a few verses out of that. Lexi, so good to see you. You're amazing. Congratulations. We love you. You're amazing. Love the Rousek family. You guys have done well. You've raised your children well. And we just honor you. And she is. She's so smart. And but in Lamentations chapter 3, this is an amazing portion of scripture. And this is Jeremiah. If you don't know who wrote the book of Lamentations, it's Jeremiah. And it's called Lamentations because it's a sad book. It's a sad time in history, right? And this is the time when Jerusalem had been totally destroyed. And so Jeremiah is sad, and he titles this book Lamentations, lamenting. It's a book of sadness. It's not called Happytations, right? It's not the book of happy thoughts. No, it is. He's talking about some stuff that's pretty hard to talk about. And it starts. What I want to start is verse 20, and it says this: "My soul still remembers and sinks within me." It also says, a different translation says, "My soul is downcast within me." What is he talking about? He's talking about when he begins to think about his people, when he thinks about the city of Jerusalem, and he thinks about the destruction, he thinks about the brokenness of the families, he thinks about everything that his forefathers paid a price for, and everything beginning to crumble right before his eyes. His heart is broken. And I don't know about you, but I'm identifying with this portion of scripture more than I ever have in my life. As I look at America, as I look at the church at large, my heart is sad, because I'm like, gosh, how did we get to this point? And you long for what was, you long for what used to be in 2018, 2019, or whatever year was a good year for you. But you have to come to this place where you acknowledge and you recognize we aren't in Kansas anymore, Toto. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how many times I click my heels, we ain't getting back there. There's no place like home. There's no place like 2016. We ain't going back to 2016, 2019. We cannot go back. We can't. And Jeremiah has to come to this place in his own heart, in his own story, where he has to recognize this. And this, I believe, is a great gift of faith. There's a lot of people in the world and in church culture that they don't have faith, they have denial. Yeah. This isn't happening, this isn't happening, this isn't happening, this isn't happening. COVID's not happening, COVID's not happening, COVID's not happening, COVID. Actually, it is happening. And it's wreaking havoc on society, on families, on marriages. The suicide rate is through the roof. Medication has quadrupled for anxiety, depression. And so we cannot just pretend that it's not happening. And Jeremiah could not look at Jerusalem and just say, Jerusalem's not, it's still there. Jerusalem's still there. Jerusalem's still there. Jerusalem's still there. The walls are still built. No, he had to recognize. And this is actually faith. This is faith to look at a situation and look at it, but look at it with hope. You got to be able to look at the ruins of your life and the ruins of a nation, the ruins of a marriage, the ruins of anything. You got to be able to look at it through the eyes of hope. Hallelujah. And so it says this, verse 21. So it doesn't stay. I think a lot of people, they're like, yeah, I do that easy. I focus on everything that's bad, you know. I stay in the negative. No, you got to acknowledge it, but then don't stay there. You cannot camp out in that. And verse 21, it says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." What does he recall to his mind? Well, I'll tell you, he recalls this to his mind. The Lord's mercies are not, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. What is he saying? We're alive. Hallelujah. I still got breath in my lungs. I'm walking. I'm still prophesying. I'm still writing letters. I am not consumed. I have another day to live. Amen. Because of his compassions fail not, They are new every morning. Say every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to all those who wait for him and for the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I love this. And so the first thing that you have to do in the midst of COVID, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of craziness in our country and craziness in our counties, the first thing that you have to do is remember. You have to come and you have to have this Mufasa Simba moment, and you have to remember who you are. Right? Remember who you are, Simba. You're a child of the king. But you got to remember what the Lord has spoken. And he recalls to his mind. He says, okay, I'm living in a really difficult situation, but I remember that your mercies are new every day. I remember, God, that you're faithful. I remember that you're my portion. I remember that I'm still alive, that you've given me a day that I could have hope in. You got to begin to bring it to your remembrance. Amen? And God wants to give you a new day. And he wants to give America a new day. And he wants to give the church a new day. And his new day is going to look different than what we think. We have our map on how we think everything it should look. But God's map and God's design and God's beautiful painting looks different than what we have created. And it looks beautiful and it looks amazing. And God's new day has all the breakthrough that you need.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. What does it say? Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Portion. I think about the children of Israel. And they were wandering in the desert, right? And God supernaturally provided for them water from a rock and manna from the sky. I mean, it was just phenomenal. Like, to look, I want to watch the replay videos on that in heaven. Like, it's going to be something else. Like, whoa, look at it just falling from the sky. And water coming from, I mean, it was supernatural provision. It was supernatural breakthrough every single day. And if they tried to hoard it, it would rot. If they tried to steal it, it would go away. And so God was teaching them in this particular setting, I am your portion every day of your life. I will sustain you if you look to me. I will provide for you everything that you need, all the supplies that you need, all the food that you need, the money that you need, everything that you need. I am your portion. Come on. What does it say? Give us today our daily bread. Come on, somebody. And he is the bread of life. Give us today more of you, Jesus. You know, I've experienced the Lord just being so faithful in this many times in our life. But I, in particular, I can remember being a missionary and not having enough, you know, not having enough to just to do what I believed that God had called me to do in the mission field, preach the gospel, go all over the place and, you know, just bring hope. And all of a sudden I looked at my bank account and it was drying up and I'm like, well, I know I heard the Lord. And I was so focused on all this stuff and on the money and on this and on the problems. And I got this revelation in the midst of all that, that God is my portion. And God is my provider, that he truly is Jehovah Jireh. And if we will trust him, he will be who he said he was in your story. So I begin to trust him, and I begin to live like I had $1 million in my bank. Not spending extravagantly, but living with no care. Living with faith. And all of a sudden, people just begin to sow into my life and into my bank account that people I didn't even know. You know, even this church, you know, I get a call from Pastor Eric and he's like, hey, we were praying and the church wants to support you and we're going to send you so much every month. I'm like, hallelujah. You know, and different churches I wasn't even connected with. They're like, hey, we know so-and-so. We know that person. And we feel, we are praying. We feel like we're supposed to send you this money. And so God is our provision. He's our source. He's our everything. And, you know, I could take you through time and time, and even in this church as we've been pastoring, the ups and the downs, the mountains and the valleys, but God is faithful through it all. And so I don't look at anything. I just look at Jesus. And that's we have to have that mindset. I know so many people are getting so scared, and people are losing jobs and losing this and losing that during the pandemic. But do not keep your eyes on this thing. Do not keep your eye on that business thing. Do not keep your eye on any of the external. Keep your eyes on Christ. Yes. He is the source. He is the provider. He is our resource. He's the only connection that you need. Everybody's like, oh, I've got to make some connections. No, you don't. You just need Jesus. He's the only connection. If it's like it's you don't have to strive. People I've seen for so many years, so many Christians are striving to meet this person and meet this musician and meet this pastor and meet this business person. And you don't got to strive if you know Jesus. Just press into Him. Amen. I went to the largest church in the world a couple times in Korea. Pastor Young Ki Cho, and it's a phenomenal church. I believe 300,000. I don't know. Was it 500,000? Okay, yeah. Well, in the particular sanctuary that I was in, there was about 40,000 people, and then there's a couple of those, couple sanctuaries where it fits 30,000 to 40,000 people, and then they have multiple services every day and throughout the week, and it was anointed. I mean, Koreans can pray. They can really pray. And but the thing that I love so much about the story of Young Ki Cho is it all started with an attitude of prayer. And he had nothing in the beginning. He just had a vision to know the Lord, and he just said, I'm just going to get in my prayer closet, and I'm just going to pray. And so he would just pray every day. Had nothing. Had no connection. Had no building, but supernaturally God began to provide as he set his eyes on Jesus every day, every night, every day, every night. All of a sudden, business people begin to come around him, and intercessors and you know, all kinds of people, and they built this church that changed South Korea. Come on, somebody. And yeah, it is changing North Korea. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he has everything that we need. He has strength for us. He has joy for us. He's got all the breakthrough that we need today. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, that's the new day that I need, that I'm waiting for. I need some breakthrough today. And you need some breakthrough today. That person at Vaughn's needs some breakthrough today. You need breakthrough today. I wasn't talking about Patrick, but... We all need breakthrough, and the good news is that he has it. Whatever you need, he's got it for you.
Yes.
Are you having problems in your marriage? He's got the solution for you.
Yes.
He's everything. Number two, a new day with the Lord, which he is bringing. He's bringing right now. A new day with the Lord brings all the hope that you need to keep going. And this is where this beautiful song comes in, a thrill of hope. I think we just need some hope in this weary world right now. And really hope, having hope, it's just the belief that there is a new morning coming in the midst of the chaos of your night. And it is the belief that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
That it's been a hard and it's been a long season, and I recognize this hard and long season, but I still believe that joy is coming. I still believe that hope is being restored. I still believe that God the Father sent his only begotten Son on a holy night. I still believe that there's power in that. Amen? Come on. And we got to keep our hope alive in the midst of this season, because the Bible is clear in Proverbs that hope deferred will make your heart sick. And your heart, you don't want a sick heart, because if you have a sick heart, then that's when people begin to get mental illness, and they begin to get super sick in their body when you begin to lose hope. You begin to fall into depression and anxiety, and the person's like, I don't know why I'm sick all the time, because you lost your hope. And when you begin to lose faith and when you begin to lose hope, your body begins to deteriorate. Your mind begins to deteriorate. It's scientifically proven. And so you got to have hope. You got to have faith. You got to keep your eyes locked on Jesus. Come on, somebody. I was sharing this last week, but it's a funny story. I was in China, and I don't recommend going there right now, but I was there a few years ago, several years ago, and I love the Chinese people. They're beautiful, beautiful people, and I love Asia. Asia's just got my heart, part of my heart. But I just fell in love with China when I was there, and I got to do a lot of ministry in a university, and just hang out with these college students. And so one day they said, hey, we want to take you to this theme park. And I'm like, sweet. It was like a big amusement park in China. I'm like, this is great. Sounds fun. And so they take me, and Sean was with me. They take both of us to this amusement park. And there's rides, and there's all kinds of fun stuff going on. And there's this big zip line that goes from one end of the park to the other. And all these, we're with about 25, 30 of these little Chinese guys. And they're like, you should go on the zip line. I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. So I'm climbing up. I get to the top, and they're putting the harness on me. And I don't know, like for whatever reason, I just begin to look around, and I begin to notice everybody's like 5'2". 5'2 to 5'5", I'll be generous. And they probably weigh about 150. And so I'm like, and they're flying, and they're, woo, you know, hallelujah, you're having so much fun. And I'm like, have they ever tested this for like a normal sized dude? And an American that likes French fries, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think they have. And so I'm starting to feel anxiety. And I'm like, you go literally over the entire park, and it's a plunge to your death if you fall. So they're tying this thing on, like, good, you good? No, I'm not good. I'm not good at all. But I look above me, and the harness is attached to this steel bar. It's like a loop. And so I'm like looking in that, and I'm like, okay, well, if I just reach up as high and as fast as I can grab a hold of that thing. And this probably looks crazy. The Chinese probably thought I was a lunatic. But right before they push me off the ledge, I throw my arm up there, and I grab a hold of this thing, and you could not beat me off of this. Like, I had a full-on pit bull death grip, and I'm just like, chunk, and I'm like, go ahead, you push me, you know. And I hold on to this thing as tightly as I can, flying through the park with a bunch of Chinese looking at me like, weird American, what is he doing? With one arm up here. But I got to the end, and I was alive, and I'm like, hallelujah. And I felt the Lord speak to me. And I know He does this to you as well, and He'll speak to us in many ways, whether we're running or we're watching a movie or something happens and He just speaks to you, sometimes almost more loudly than He does in our prayer time. And I remember getting off of that thing, and the Lord speaks to me. He says, I want you to hold on to me this tight. If you would hold on to me and not the cares of the world, you'll go far in life. And many times I feel throughout the history of my life, the cares of the world, the concerns of the world take my gaze. And I begin to lock onto that thing. And I hold on to that thing so tight because I'm worried that something's going to be taken away from me. But when we don't have our eyes on Jesus, the thing's going to leave anyway. And you're going to plunge to your spiritual death. And so I would just encourage you, hold on to hope like you are a pit bull in a fight. Like, you do not let this thing go. Like, whatever it takes, you find the scriptures. You find the places in the Word of God. You find the places in your prayer time where you can just hold on to faith, hold on to hope. Don't let anything take it away from you. It's that valuable. I mean, you are like Indiana Jones trying to get out of that cave and the boulder's behind you, right? And you're like, oh. Do not allow anything to remove that precious treasure from your hands. It is that valuable. And Jesus came to this earth so that we can live a victorious life. So that we can live a life of hope, not a defeated, depressed, anxious, fear-filled life. He died so that we could be with Him for eternity, but He also died so that we could be in relationship with Him and live a good life now. Live a powerful and free life now. That's a good word. And so I find in this time in 2021, coming into 2022, you know, that I'm not typically an anxious person. And I'm typically not filled with a lot of fear. Everybody has their own battles. There's different things that I battle. But those two things have really not been on my radar a whole lot in my whole entire life. But I sense them and I feel them the last 2 years. Because it's not just something that's attacking an individual. It's attacking our entire nation, the entire world. And so many times I bump into this thing and it's like, whoa. And really, I'm feeling territorial spirits. And so you and they are wicked. And they are mean. And they will try to shake you to the core. And so that nothing remains. And you are just feeling like you're left there naked and no armor. And they'll just keep shaking you and shaking you and shaking you. And so it is in those moments that you have to gird up yourself. You gird up your loins, as the Bible says, right? Gird up your faith. Put on the armor of God. Hold on to hope. And don't let go. Come on. And throughout history, there's wicked seasons. There are seasons of great warfare. There are seasons of stress. There's seasons, lots of seasons. And this is nothing new. The devil is, he's an idiot. And what he does, he just does on replay. He doesn't have a new game plan. He's like, I'm just going to try this in a different way. It's the same thing, but it's going to come in a different approach. It's going to be packaged a little bit differently. And he tries to destroy the church, and he tries to rip off hope from an entire generation. You know, and he was trying to do this in World War II. We know that so many Jews were losing hope because it was an atrocity. It was horrible what was happening to the Jews. And so you can read history books and you see that many begin to take their own life, not even knowing, not realizing that victory was months away, days away at the end of this. It was so close that they were about to be rescued. And they were just so overwhelmed, so full of anxiety that they began to commit suicide in mass. Because they were so scared to go into the furnace. They were so scared to be beaten. They were so scared of everything that they saw their family walk through. And so hope was demolished. And I would say, do not allow our hope as a church, as a nation, to be crushed into pebbles. Amen. Keep your hope alive.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
It's here. It's alive. It's more real today than it was 2,000 years ago. He's alive. He's alive.
Yes.
And if the people of God, I got to see that movie, The Chosen Christmas Special. It was so, so good. And it just touched my heart. And I just love, they kind of contrast Mary's life at the later years of her life. And in the beginning when they had the Lord Jesus. And it was just so powerful to watch the comparison and the excitement and the passion and the drive of the early church, even with the persecution. And they would do anything to get the gospel out. And people were dying. And they said, she says, you know, Mary Magdalene says to Mary, it's hard. There's so much persecution and people are being killed. And but they kept the faith. They said, but people have. What was the famous line in the movie? People must know. It was so powerful. And so Rome is just going crazy, killing Christians. But they're saying, no, we have the hope of the world living in us. People must know. And I feel like that is a message for this hour. People must know. We go to the guy's business. He's dying of cancer. And we just give him some hope and the situation changes. People must know that there's hope. People must know that Jesus is alive. Don't allow the devil to steal from you and rob you of this beautiful and amazing thing called hope. Amen. And lastly, number three, a new day with the Lord brings all the help that you're seeking. Verse 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. It's amazing what waiting on God will do for you. And it is a lost art. And, you know, because of the world that we live in, and we get things so quickly, and we want our download faster than 5 seconds. And we want our song yesterday, but there's this beautiful thing throughout Scripture and throughout church history where people really knew how to wait upon the Lord. And they wouldn't move from their prayer closet until God moved. And they wouldn't just, it wasn't just, oh, I prayed, it's done, bada bing, bada boom. No, they would literally wait day and night, night and day. We sing about it, but they actually did it. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. They literally did it. The early church, the church of the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, they would pray until they felt a release. And then revival and reformation would break out. Families would change. Situations would change. And so all that to say is waiting on the Lord is powerful. And it gives us faith. It gives us faith, and it gives you a godly and a heavenly perspective on what's going on out there. Amen?
Yeah.
And so we can sit in this crazy season. But you wait on the Lord, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, it's crazy, but it's not that bad. Like, God's good. He's still on the throne. He's still victorious. I got food on my table. I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. And you begin to have a different perspective, and you begin to look at things from God's perspective. Amen.
Yes.
And things can change in a day.
Yes, they can.
Everything can switch for you, and it can switch for our nation, and it can switch for the church, and it could switch for Mono County and Inyo County in a day. In a day. Like, literally, tomorrow can look different than yesterday. Do you know that?
Yes.
I mean, look at Lazarus. Lazarus was so dead. He was literally so dead that the Bible, the King James Version, said he stinketh. That's how dead he was. You know, when the King James has to use that kind of language, you know you are dead. He doesn't even stink. He stinketh. And he was just so gone. They were weeping. They were mourning, dead for 4 days. And Jesus comes to a dead situation, to a hopeless situation. And he says, Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm sure Lazarus could testify. Man, one day with Jesus changed everything for me. Hallelujah. I'm here to testify. And he's doing the Thriller. Bum, bum, bum. Come on, somebody. Woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, dealing with shame, dealing with pain, dealing with anxiety, dealing with all this stuff. And one day with God changed it all. One touch and the hem of his garment changed it all. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years with the same condition. One day changed everything. Come on. I read the Gospels and I begin to get injected and infused with hope. I read Paul's life, and I am so full of hope. If he'll do it then, he'll do it now.
Yes.
Amen. If he'll do it in the 1800s, if he'll do it for Charles Spurgeon, if he'll do it for Finney, if he'll do it for the Welsh Revival, for Azusa Street, if he'll do it for Billy Graham, he'll do it for us.
Yes.
Because he's no respecter of persons. He loves us all, and he wants to see us all come into maturity. He wants to see us come all into the knowledge of his Son. Amen. Come on. And so I believe our nation needs a thrill of hope.
Amen.
And I believe hope is here.
It is.
Hope is now. Because hope is not something that we talk about. It's not something that we sing about that you're trying to grasp. Hope is a person.
Yep.
Hope is Jesus.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. And our weary world needs Jesus.
Yes.
Our weary world needs Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we were having a service down at Bishop, and it was great, you know, for those that were there. There's this gentleman, sweet guy, but he was just raging drunk. And he came in, and somebody said something to him, and he got mad. I don't know what exactly happened, but he began to start cussing up a storm. Right, it was so church, you know, because we're worshiping and David Brimer's leading, and God just began to, like, I don't know what happened, but God began to move so powerfully, and I just began to weep uncontrollably. Like, Heather and I we were weeping, like I couldn't stop, and I'm like, this is ridiculous, and both of us were like trying to like stop it, and then little Nancy Tillotson comes over, she's like, here, you guys need some Kleenex. We're like, oh great, everybody sees us. Just I mean, I was just a wreck, and God was doing some real work in my heart, and so I sit down, and I'm like, oh man, this was really good, and then we're only in worship, and I wonder what the rest of the service is going to be like. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing the F-bomb right behind me. And somebody starts cussing up a storm and blasting everybody and yelling and screaming. And I'm like, all right, I guess we're having church tonight, you know. And so some people take him out, and they're praying for him and trying to talk to him. And some stuff's happening. And so it was just great. So my wife, you know, she's with the kids, and she doesn't know who this is, so she kind of gets worried, like, what's going on? Some drunk guy's going to punch somebody or something bad's going to happen. So she calls the police, and she goes in, she takes a picture. But by this time, he comes back in, and he comes to the front. David's now hugging the guy, and we're all gathered around him, laying hands on him and praying for this guy. The police show up, and they're like, well, where is this guy? You know, and Heather's like, well, he's getting prayer. He'll be out in a minute. And they're like, what? Well, I thought this was an emergency. Well, can you just wait a minute? Because he's getting ministry, and like, he's crying now. And so the guy starts, you know, if you were there, you know, he starts weeping. And so in the beginning, he's cussing us out, telling us, you know, go with blank, blankety blank. And then by the time he leaves, he's like blessing us. He's like, God bless you. God bless this place. Look, and he's like quoting scripture. And I'm like, I don't know what happened, but it kind of feels like church. So I just cried. I got some emotional inner healing going on. And then we just see some guy totally getting saved and confessing Jesus. And so it was beautiful. And I just saw, like, I could look into the man's eyes and I saw hopelessness. That's my point. And there's so many people that are carrying hopelessness, and they don't know what to do with it. And will we step into their story and bring hope?
So good.
We're going to just close with a song, and whatever song you got. I'm sorry, I should have thrown that at you a minute ago. And Patrick is an ambassador of hope. And when he sings, hope rises. There's a gift on his life. There's an anointing like David. And when he plays, demons flee. And so I believe you've come. People have come to this room today. And you're being harassed by something. You're being harassed by a spirit. You're being harassed by hopelessness. You're being harassed by fear. And I believe that the Spirit of God is here right now. And if you will lean into this for a moment as he worships, I believe that thing will leave you. That thing will come off of you in the name of Jesus. And so I want you to stand to your feet. And if you've never made, I feel like everybody knows the Lord in this place, but if you've never made the Lord Jesus the Master and the Savior of your life and your heart, today is the best day to do that. And it says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. And so I would encourage you to do that. Talk to me afterwards. Talk to somebody. Don't leave this place the same way that you came to this place. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day of new beginnings. It is the day of hope being restored. It is the day where we come out of the cave. Many have been shoved into a corner and shoved into a cave like Elijah. And we've been running from this territorial spirit called fear. We've been running from this Jezebel thing. And we've hunkered down into a cave. But the Lord says today, it is time to come forth. It is time to come out of hiding. It is time to come out of your cave. For you are alive. I have put my spirit within you. And I am calling you forth into a new season. I am calling you forth into a spring season. I am calling you forth into a new time and into a new era. And I will place my hand and I will place my spirit upon you, says the Lord. And I will bring the breakthrough. And I will bring the new season. And I will bring the chapter shift in your life. And I will bring hope. Right now, I restore the hope, what the enemy has stolen from you. God says he restores it now by his Spirit. Spirit of God, flow in this house. Spirit of God, flow into your people. Flow in this room right now. Inject our hearts with hope. Infuse our families and situations with hope. God, we want to be connected eternally to the source. We want to be connected eternally to the source, to the life source, to the blood of Jesus, to hope. God, we don't want sick hearts in this house. We don't want sick hearts in our family. We choose hope today. We choose Jesus today. We choose life today. Come on, let's just sing. I believe as we sing, get your eyes off the problem like Jeremiah. Recall to your mind. Have faith again, and I believe hope is going to be restored in this room. In Jesus' holy name.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. Oh, you are here, working in this place, God. I worship you, I worship you, Lord. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. Oh, you are here, turning lives around. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. God of miracles, God of miracles, God of miracles. Oh, you are God of miracles. God of miracles, God of miracles, restore our hope, hope in you. Faithful forever, you're faithful forever, we can rest in your faithfulness, oh God of miracles.
From Isaiah 60, the fifth verse, it says, then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and exult. When we see hope, is there an emotion that takes place in you? Yeah. We have a tendency at times to think about the fact that church is not an emotional place. We just worship. Yeah, if you were raised a Methodist like me, you know what I mean. But get the thrill of hope. Get the thrill of hope. Let it rise within you. Let it rise. Because our hope is where? In Christ alone. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Jesus, for the Christmas season. And we just commission everybody in this room to be ambassadors of hope. Yes. Whether you like it or not, the Lord Jesus commission you to go out of this place and be an ambassador of hope in the grocery store, in the coffee shop, in the restaurants, in your family, around the Christmas dinner. God, I thank you for ambassadors of hope. We bless your name today. We thank you. And I just pray protection, blessing, love, and healing over this next week, over this Christmas season. I pray, Lord, what the enemy meant for destruction, Lord, that you would use and turn it around for good. And everything that's been happening in family dynamics and in friendships and the separations, God, I just pray, turn it around and bring healing in Jesus' name. We love you and we honor you. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Oh, of course.
All right. Merry Christmas, y'all. How do we know this wonderful Christmas story all revolved around one thing happening politically was a census? The only reason why Jesus, Joseph, and Mary were in Bethlehem. There is now a very big political thing happening this Christmas week because of a census. And that is called redistricting. Ooh, it's so wonderful. Most of the counties have done it already. But one of the most powerful ones that are happening are state assembly, House representatives, and the Senate are all redistricting because of the 2020 census. And they have to finalize this month for the 2022 elections. So if you want to shift D.C. and Sacramento, it's happening this week because it's unseating career politicians. Can't even go for their district where they have the money and the resources. They can't even run in their same district anymore. That's why you have Democrats retiring and going into different seats because they can't go where they don't have the money anymore. So you want to see the hope of glory next year is to pay attention to what's happening in the unseen. I bet you haven't even heard about the redistricting. It's a huge thing that's going on right now. So keep your ear to the rail. A lot of good stuff's coming next year, and it's exciting. It's exciting.
That's good. Amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a beautiful Christmas. And pass the word next Sunday. Like Richard said, we will not be meeting here. There will be somebody to lead some prayer if there are stragglers that come. But there will be an all-church meeting in Bishop at the Nazarene, and then we'll be meeting in the afternoon, and it's going to be a great time.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you said that we were going to hold down the fort, and I said that's not true, but I guess we are. Okay. So.